Thank you all for participating. Now, there's no stoning going on, okay? And mothers, this is the first time you can say, I went to church, and instead of getting flowers, I got a rock. So if you can hold your rock, play with your rock, move your rock around, we'll get 1 hour in together. Thank you. We had a great AGM meeting last Sunday. Thank you very much for coming. There was a great turnout of people. It was awesome to see the Lord moved amongst you all too, which was great because it was a positive meeting in that no words were spoken that we needed to ask for forgiveness for. So that was, praise the Lord, item. It was great food. Ellen, you did an awesome job. Thank you very much. And the rest of the ladies, you did a tremendous job there too. There was a vote of confidence upon me. I'd asked for that vote of confidence. The reason I asked for that is this is the first church body that I came and got involved with that did not have a vote on me before I came. And so when I came, I heard about it right away. Well, we didn't get to vote on you, and you know, who are you, and all this kind of stuff. And we had been going through lots of tough things as well as a body, and so it was a good time to have a vote. I had given a percentage because the vote wasn't held at the beginning. I gave a percentage to the leadership, which got some of the leadership quite nervous because it was set pretty high. But the Lord moved, and the members voted. We had a really good turnout of members, and came in at 92%. And so I will carry on with you and continue to lead you. And we're ready on month number 9. Contract goes for 12 months, so there's only 3 months left of that, and then there's an extension period on that as well. So we have been going through here, and we've been taking this journey, and it's kind of been like this. Everybody would agree? I remember I shared that with some of you at the very beginning in September. I said I would like to see it be like this, but that's not the reality. And so it's been a journey. Back in September and October, you were encouraged to write down your prayers for this church body, and a booklet was made. And if you don't have one of these booklets, may I encourage you, there's some at the tables as you go out at all three doors, okay? And may I encourage you to grab one. They were all put in your mailboxes. Some of you, though, didn't get one in that year. It was still in your mailbox. So we've put them out on the table. These are prayers that were written by you. And in there was a common theme. One of the reoccurring themes, there were several common themes, but one of the reoccurring themes was forgiveness and reconciliation. You were asking God, heal our body. Bring us together. Move us in a powerful way. So in March, we began looking at confession and repentance and reconciliation, and we've been working through those themes. And the last two Sundays, we've heard from Will and from Don as they shared from God's Word on what biblical forgiveness looks like and how we're to apply it to our life. And this morning is more application. So if you haven't gotten a couple pieces of paper and a pen, or maybe you have a pen, but I hope all of you, including older youth and children, because this is a good exercise for all of us. If you didn't get one of those papers, you know, please don't be shy. We got them. I can get Glenn to run around and pass them out to you. Just raise your hand when it comes time. We'll be glad to get them to you, and a pen if you need so. Just flip it to the next slide, if you will. Thanks, Dominic. Excellent job. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says this: instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. We heard songs of that this morning. We sang songs of that this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Be gentle, ready to forgive, never holding grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you. You must also forgive others. We heard that from Don's message last Sunday. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, or mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you and me? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:8. You know, we have seen and we have heard from God's word that God calls us to forgive those who hurt us. And that is often easier said than done. Dr. Worthington Jr., in his book called Forgiving and Reconciling, Bridges to Wholeness and Hope, he says this: to be human is to have experienced hurt, offenses, betrayal, rejection. And forgiving is one way that all creatures can deal with those events that wound the soul. Forgiveness, like love, honesty, justice, truth, responsibility, accountability, gratitude, compassion, mercy, grace, rationality, and creativity resides in the common grace given by God to all people. To forgive is human. And this author wrestles through the fact that forgiveness and to forgive is human. In other words, it's not just for you and I that know Jesus Christ. Okay? Everybody teaches it. Everybody works through it. But as Christians, we're called to a higher standard. We're called to apply it. And it's tough for us to do so. Dr. Martin Luther King, I remember him as I grew up down the States very well. He said this: forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude. Continues to say this: we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoted to the power of forgive is He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power of love. Okay? Dr. Martin Luther speaking to an audience of those that know Christ as their Lord and Savior and those that do not. And to forgive is human. There are some good in the worst of us. And there is some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. That was said by Dr. Martin Luther. However, because we're human, we wrestle with forgiveness and unforgiveness. We wrestle with it. We have a hard time forgiving people, and some more than others. We know what is right, and we know what we need to do, but we wrestle with it. We wrestle because our emotions are trumping what we need to do. Our emotions are the elephant in the room. Dr. Worthington continues, he says this, unforgiveness is a jumble of emotions. Resentment, hostility, hatred, bitterness, simmering anger, a low-level fear interlaced in the tapestry of unforgiveness. All that is brewing underneath. He says this, unforgiveness is not a hot, immediate reaction to a transgression. It's ignited by a spark, a perceived hurt, or offense, and it's fanned by a hot emotion of anger and fear, and then is dampened to a slow burn. It's kind of like the farmer had been watching down the road trying to burn some wet straw and manure and all this kind of stuff, and he's out there with this tiger torch lighting it up, and it goes for a while, and then he has to light it up again. It's a slow burn. Unforgiveness is emotion served cold. It's delayed. It's kind of like dry ice. So cold that it burns the fingers. And unforgiveness can still scorch our gut. Unforgiveness, Dr. Worthington defines it this way, and I like it, so I want to use it. Unforgiveness can be defined as delayed negative emotions involving resentment, involving bitterness, hostility, hatred, residue anger, residue fear, which motivates people to reduce the negative emotion. So, unforgiveness is an emotion. It's kind of like a hot potato. I mean, how many of you have ever played that game, Hot Potato? You don't want to hold it long in your hands because it's uncomfortable. It burns. You try to get rid of it. Unforgiveness does the same thing inside of us. And so we try to get rid of that unforgiveness. We do it in different ways. We might say, oh, I got to be forbearing. I got to put up with this. But it's a slow brew. We want justice. It's another form of unforgiveness. Well, we just got to get justice. And it comes in different ways. We try many ways to get rid of that emotion as quickly as we can. Because it's unpleasant. We don't like feeling unpleasant. I come across this saying, you can flip it into the next slide there, several years ago. Forgive people in your life, even those who are not sorry for their actions. Holding on to anger only hurts you, not them. As I was growing up, my mom always said to me, Todd, when you hold on to something, you lose sleep more than the other person. They're not even thinking about it. You're all worked up and you can't even sleep. And so this morning, I want to put into practice and help us put into practice forgiveness. So, in your bulletin, you've all had a bulletin. Or hopefully you all have a bulletin. That's small print. Oh, you can see it. That's good. I'm looking at that, and that's probably small. I have put some questions together from other sources, trying to be as broad as we can. I want us to be big in this as far as covering lots of areas. And each of you have two pieces of paper and a pen. And if you don't have one, let me know, because we want to give that to you. We want to give you opportunity. And I would invite you to take some time to write a summary of the transgression or transgressions that have happened to you. And I've tried to pick topics that will cover a broad area. So, romantic relationships, a failed dating relationship, a terminated living together or divorce, provide opportunities of unforgiveness. Maybe that's you this morning, maybe not. Is there a romantic partner you want to forgive? Family relationships, disappointments, hurts, misunderstandings, just plain cruelty may show up in both parents and siblings. Are there incidents in your family history that still fester and gnaw that need your forgiveness? Now, none of these may fit you as we go through them. Maybe you have something of your own. Church relationships. You know, church should be a garden that produces fruit. However, the weeds of unforgiveness often choke off the fruit at the roots. Do you have any relationships with church attendees, with church adherents, with church members, past, present, that need your attention, need your forgiveness? Not yet. Have working or a workplace relationship. Have you been wronged or offended against the workplace? Healthcare. There's a good one. COVID set this off for many of us. Have you or has a loved one been a victim of medical error? Has a doctor or a nurse or a health administrator put you down? Have you been ignored when you were there in pain? Are there opportunities to forgive here? Justice system is another one. Have you experienced shortcoming of the justice system? End of life. Many people hate to leave the world with bitterness, feeling of resentments. Forgiveness and reconciliation can bring peace to the relationships. My mom put this into practice, and she called each one of us in on a completely different day. Sat us down as she was in bed and worked this out with us. If there was anything that needed to be done, that was the time to do it. Ethnic and class. Unforgiveness can run wild in ethnic conflict. We're seeing it like crazy on TV. We experience it. Maybe you're here this morning that have experienced it. I would encourage you to write down whatever it is that you need to forgive on a piece of paper. And if you need to fill it both sides, so be. And then to symbolize your forgiveness, I would like you to come up front, and there will be a lineup, and there's no problem with that. But I want you to staple it to the cross. Now, I tried this out. You have to kind of hold the cross, because you're going to push against it to staple it. Otherwise, I'll stand there and hold the cross for you. But I would like you to staple it to the cross. As you're coming up, as you're thinking about this, as you're praying about it, as you're holding your stone, uncomfortably trying to write out a piece of paper, Pray that your forgiveness will be apparent by your actions towards the person who's harmed you or who's offended you. You see, the cross is a powerful symbol of forgiveness. At the cross, God's justice and forgiveness intersected. And it intersected through Jesus Christ. The cross is our most powerful symbol of Jesus' self-sacrificing giving. It shows that forgiveness is painful. Okay? Forgiveness is painful. So we're going to take some time. There'll be some songs. It'll be about 16 minutes. So there's no rush. I want you just to think about this and reflect upon it. And when you're led by the Lord, and if you're not led, that's fine too, come and staple it to the cross. We've been working, like I said, and we want to just apply this. What is forgiveness? Let it start with us. This is just symbolizing. Us laying it down on the cross. Laying it at the feet of Jesus. Let me just pray as we do this, as we think about this. Thank you all for participating. Let me pray. Lord, we are your children. You want us to forgive as you have forgiven us. Lord, we've put these on the cross. We lay them at your feet, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will move through us in a powerful way through our actions, that we may show and demonstrate how we are leaving it to you. Lord, thank you for that. Scripture tells us that he takes these things, and as far as the east is from the west, Scripture tells us that he remembers them no more. Took them one time when we did a fire out in the parking lot, but that created a pretty big fire, so we're going to use a shredder to symbolize that God's remembering these no more. We've laid them at the cross. We put them on the cross. Every time Satan tells us, oh, look, they did it again. Say to him, we gave it to God. We put it on the cross. Every time Satan wants to bring it up to us, we say, I choose to remember it no more. We ask for the Spirit's help to remember it no more. What God's done for us. Sending his son on the cross to pay a price And when we know him as our Lord and Savior, God chooses to remember it no more. Every time Satan comes in front of him and says, oh, Todd screwed up again, God says, yep, my son Jesus Christ covered that. It's powerful for us to remember this. Satan wants us to constantly play it over in our heads. Thank you. Chooses to remember him no more. Powerful, powerful thing. Let me just read that for you. Psalms 103. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.